Joined on the line now by the Reverend Angus Stewart. You're very welcome to the program.
Thanks to be here.
Now, in today's papers, we've alluded to this earlier, you very strongly criticised Mel Gibson's production, The Passion of the Christ, mainly, as I read it, do correct me if I'm wrong, but it's because you believe it's always wrong to have an actor portraying Jesus. Would that be a fair representation?
Yes, that would be. Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures and the Orthodox Christian faith, is both God and man. Now, since God's invisible, he cannot be portrayed in any sense. People then argue that because Christ is man, as any other man, he can be pictured. And the answer to that is severalfold. Well, first of all, we don't know what Jesus looked like. We do have one or two hints. For example, the Bible says that it is a shame for a man to have long hair, and so Christ would have had short hair. Interestingly, this actor in the film has long hair.
But would you not say, even though the Bible may say that, and that would be something that, that people might draw from it, that doesn't necessarily mean, does it, that we can immediately assume that Christ had short hair?
Well, he had not long hair. I suppose you could argue how long is long and medium and short.
Okay.
But
we'll not digress on that.
Sure.
Point. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask you, though, sorry, have I interrupted you there? Is there another point you wanted to make?
I was just going to say that even if we had a picture of Christ, which we don't have, he still couldn't be portrayed because he is God manifest in the flesh. So the human nature exists within as joined to the divine person. So you could never portray a man who is truly God. And that's God's will.
Well, can I ask you, Reverend Stewart, if this film, if it conveys to people a feeling of the very real suffering that, that Christ went through on the cross to atone for our sins, is that not a message that you would welcome being effectively portrayed?
Indeed, the sufferings of Christ is a large part on the Christian message. But we believe in a Christ who is portrayed in suffering in the preaching of the gospel. Galatians 3 verse 1 presents that as the way in which Christ is evidently set forth. And we don't want to present the sufferings of Christ in the form of a man undergoing, as an actor, the eternal wrath of God against his church. And that's another thing, the sufferings of the in the film don't portray the eternal wrath of God in the soul of Christ. So it's not only the physical beating which Christ is taking, but it's chiefly and primarily, and this is the way in which we're saved, is bearing God's wrath against us. And then too, the sufferings of Christ must be explained as for his people, actually saving them. And that is in no way characterized in the film.
But I find it interesting here because, and I mean, I know, and I'm sure you're aware of this as well now, whenever, when you hear in the news that, that a clergyman, for example, says that here's a movie, I don't think it should be, you should watch it because it goes against the Bible's teaching, there's an immediate assumption from a lot of people, oh, this is a narrow-minded preacher or clergyman, and I don't think that's always the case. I think what you're doing is interpreting what you reasonably think is your job to do, obviously, the Bible, and to try and convey that to people. And I understand that's what you're trying to do. Can I say to you that a lot of people, and you know, people interpret the Bible, it tells a lot of things that sometimes don't seem very reasonable or even logical today. I mean, is it still an abomination to eat some types of meat?
No. In Jesus Christ, the distinction between Jew and Gentile has gone forever.
Now, what about this thing about it being, we were told it was an abomination to eat pork.
Uh-huh. Well, that is gone.
When did that go?
That came in the fullness of redemption in Jesus Christ. The purpose of those food laws were to keep the Jews and the Gentiles separate.
Right.
So that the nations wouldn't be commingled, so that Christ would come. And now the barrier between Jew and Gentile is broken in one Catholic Church.
Do you get the point of making often the problem people have with the Church? Is it tends to get bogged down in dogma and semantics. You know, Christ brought this message, you know, love your enemies, be good to your fellow human beings, you know, do to them as you'd like them to do to you. All good common sense stuff, you know. Then churchmen start using the text to condemn a film, and the average intelligent guy just thinks, look, here we go again, out of touch clergy rabbiting on about the trivia, ignoring the fundamental important stuff. Can you see how people will say that?
I can see that, sure. I'd like to say, though, that the fundamental of Christian religion is faith in Jesus Christ, that man cannot save himself, and that our only hope is in his redemption. And then, once we believe in Christ by God's grace, then we live out that life, the life of faith, and thereby works. And so it's the entry point is believing in the true Jesus as preached in the gospel. And if a false Christ is presented, there is no salvation. And that's why I'm majoring actually on the central and core thing and who is Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. what has he done on the cross, and how ought this be portrayed to the world?
Well, I find it interesting. I mean, the actor who plays Christ, Jim Caviezel, he's a devout Christian. He was recently blessed by the Pope there. I mean, it doesn't exactly sound like he's on a mission from the dark side, does it?
I guess I'm going to be even more controversial, perhaps, and narrow here. That, for me, is a major criticism of the film in itself. I don't believe that the Roman Church is a true church at all, and so when the man's blessed by the Pope, that for me condemns the film.
Yeah, I feel, I mean, Christ himself, you would accept, was a great communicator, used stories, parables, got his message across. But I just think if he was walking among us today, he'd be out there, he'd be on the telly, he'd be making movies, he'd be saying, get out there, that's one way to get to the masses. He'd be glad to see people going to see movies about him and about his message.
The Christ of the Bible said that he came to bear witness of the world that its deeds are evil. And if he came back today, he would be crucified again, because the world loves darkness rather than light because its deeds are evil. That's what he said. He would want to communicate, and undoubtedly he would try and reach people as best he could. But of course he would do that in means that he believed were appropriate, and those means are set forth in the scriptures.
Yeah, but I, what I'm saying to you, I mean, I do appreciate that you know, you're telling me what you genuinely feel and believe, having read the scriptures and your interpretation of it. What I'm saying to you is there would be a huge amount of people who would look at the text and say, look, the message, the fundamental message that Christ brought, it's difficult to argue against it. Very, you know, very sensible common sense. But there's an awful lot of text you could take from the Bible. I mean, some of the things it says about women, for example, you know, women, it's shameful for a woman to speak in church, for example. I mean, you wouldn't still go along with that, would you?
I'm afraid I'm getting narrower by the breath. I'm afraid I would.
You think women should sit in church and shut up?
Yep. God has chosen that certain men would be office bearers, not all men, but men ordained of Christ to his church, and that they preach, that the women are sing in church and worship and offer up their praise in that form, but women are not office bearers in the church because they don't hold the positions of authority by the will of Christ, who's the head of the church, and he determines how things are run in his church.
All right. Well, you know, I can't fault you for your honesty. Let's go for a hat trick here. You can't possibly agree with slavery, which the Bible seems to condone.
I don't believe in kidnapping. For example, what happened with the blacks who went to Africa.
You're not telling me you agree with slavery.
I'll put it to you like this. There could be a form. I would think, personally, it's more of a personal judgment, that if someone got into debt, for example, and if that man agreed a certain period of time, a form of slavery, let's say, to work for a man to pay off his debt, mm-hmm. I think that actually might be more just than putting a man in prison and having the taxpayer pay for them. They're not really going to insist upon that.
Well, I have to say to you, I mean, I'm not even going to argue with you on the rights and wrongs of slavery, because I think they're self-evident. But I have to say you're very honest in your views, and I know you are interpreting what you believe to be the case. The one problem that I would have, you'll appreciate this,
sure.
is that there would be absolutely, in my opinion, absolutely well-meaning people like yourself who've devoted your lives to the scriptures and what the scriptures say and mean. But very often, I think, what can happen is you can read the texts and you can reach the most astoundingly wrong conclusions in the eyes of many people. You know, I mean, I've mentioned this before in the program. You'd be familiar with Bishop Usher, James Usher.
Yes.
You know, he announced that the world began in 4004 BC, 6 o'clock on Saturday, the 22nd of October.
Uh-huh.
Now, he worked that out by reading and interpreting the Bible. He was completely wrong. It's not possible you're getting it wrong as well.
The interpretation of the scripture, this is Orthodox Protestant doctrine, is provided by the scripture itself, the self-interpreting book, and when the Holy Spirit is working in the church through the office bearers interpreting scripture with scripture, that is where the true interpretation is found. Somebody can err on points. I don't find it surprising that people disagree on the meaning of the Bible, because if you think of the life of Christ, there were many interpretations of the Bible there. And some of his fiercest enemies were those who had an interpretation which he actually condemned.
Hmm.
He said, you err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, and these were religious leaders. So, which religious leaders do you agree with?
You're asking the right questions for this program. Let's bring it back to the original thing, which is you're talking about the movie here, and it's doing extremely well at the box office. That doesn't make it a good movie, but it's doing well at the box office, getting good critical acclaim. Would you say God gave us all the ability to appreciate beauty? Some are already saying this film's a work of art. Philistines, of course, would hate that. Are you lining up with the Philistines?
The Philistines actually, historically, were great appreciators of art.
Where does it all go wrong?
In terms of appreciating art, yeah, people can do that. It's a wonderful world, architecture and so on. The problem with it is my aesthetics or appreciation of beauty, I'm afraid you're going to see the circularity here, is determined by scripture. And if it's wrong, as I believe it is, then I don't see beauty in it.
Well, I think we can agree to disagree on this one, but I have to say it's been fascinating listening to your points of view.
Pleasure being on.
Reverend Angus Stewart, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, there you are. There's one gentleman who definitely doesn't agree with Mel Gibson's movie.